This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website has a lot of information on it that you might find helpful. You can re-listen to this program there and you can contact me through the website. So if you want the address to the website or my regular mailing address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Today we're going to continue our journey through Luke. We're going to begin reading from the 18th verse where we left off last time. I believe we read it last time, but we need to read it again for context. Luke chapter 7 and verse 18 says, "Then the disciples of John," now that's John the Baptist, "reported to him concerning all these things," that is, all the things that the Lord had been doing. "And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" Isn't that interesting that John the Baptist would have that question? Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? "When the men had come to him," to the Lord, that is, "they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me, or stumbled because of me.' When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John, 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like the children sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute to you, for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking wine, but you say he has a demon. The Son of Man," that is the Lord, "has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by all of her children." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. As we look at this passage, it's clear that John the Baptist, who had baptized the Lord, had seen the Holy Spirit descend upon him, had heard God from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," who had been born 6 months before the Lord and knew that he was a fulfillment of prophecy, as and that the Lord was born in such a way that he was a fulfillment of prophecy, who had seen the Lord cast out demons and heal the lepers and open the eyes of the blind. Now, if we study the whole story, we'll find out that he has rebuked Herod for marrying his brother Philip's wife, and he's been placed in jail. Now, at this juncture, John the Baptist has some doubts, and I suppose those doubts are associated with the ability of the Lord and why he has not used that ability to remove John from jail. We often look at circumstances in our life and we don't understand those circumstances. And while I do not believe that any one of us who are truly saved, who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, can ever lose that salvation, yet at the same time, there are times in our life when we have doubts and we can be stumbled. Peter, for example, was stumbled when things didn't work out the way he wanted them to work out. He said that he would follow the Lord even to death, and yet the Lord said before the cock crows, when the Lord was being delivered into the hands of the scribes and Pharisees and ultimately into the hands of Herod, he said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. So in the evening, Peter had a great confidence in the Lord, but by morning when he was faced with the trials of the crowds and the political system rejecting the Lord, he had claimed that he didn't know the Lord three times. Now his faith was obviously failing him in the sense that he did have doubts about what the Lord was doing. But when we have those doubts, it is my conviction that the very thing that brought us to faith in the first place will be the very thing that will bring us to faith or bring us back to a reassuring faith in the Lord. And I don't believe that we will ever lose our salvation. While we can have our faith tested, we don't lose our faith in the sense of quitting, being unable to believe in the Lord if we're truly saved. And what happens is that Satan comes along and raises the question, yea, hath God said, like he did in the Garden of Eden. He raises that question, and then we need to go back to the scriptures. We need to go back to what we have seen in our own lives in a practical way, and we need to be reassured with regard to the truth of what we have believed. And the reason we don't lose our salvation is because the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that truth never changes. And whatever convinced us that Jesus was the Christ, the Savior of sinners, the one who died for our sins the first time, is the same. That same truth can be reassured to us if we need that reassurance later on. And John the Baptist needed that reassurance. If we were to study this story in Matthew's gospel, we read there the Lord saying to John's disciples, go show John again. And so I often tell people that one of the reasons we preach the gospel is not only to see the unsaved reach with the gospel, but we preach the gospel so that those who have been reached and whose faith has been tried and who have questioned, have come to circumstances in their life where they question the way in which God is working and thus question God himself, that they can be reassured that circumstances are not the thing we put our faith in. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus in spite of circumstances. Job had to learn that lesson. Many through the scriptures down through the years have had to learn that lesson, and we need to learn that lesson. And dear friend, you need to be saved. You need to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. You need to find out that he is who he claimed to be, that he did die for your sins, and you need to be trusting in that. But if today you can look back to a time when you were born again, when you did trust in him, but today if your faith is being tested, if you feel that you've been placed in a prison and the Lord is not releasing you, and he could, then you need to go back to the scriptures and you need to put yourself in the hands of God and say, not my will, but yours be done, Lord, and just have confidence in him. And I can't make you have that confidence, but I can assure you that if you'll go back to the very scriptures that gave you assurance the first time, those scriptures will not have changed and they will give you assurance a second time. So what am I saying? I'm saying that once we're saved, we're always saved. But our faith is tested. Satan comes along and places doubts in our minds, and usually that's associated with circumstances. And when that happens, we need to go back and see again what God is doing, not only in our lives, but what he has done in the life in terms of the salvation that is provided for the world. We need to go back to the scriptures, and we need to go back and remind ourselves of the blessings that he's brought into our lives. None of us deserve those blessings, but he has blessed us in many times in ways that are hard for us to describe and understand. And if you're going to ask me, have you ever had doubts? I have had doubts. There's never been a time in my life when I doubted that what the Bible said, that what I'm preaching is what the Bible said. But I have wondered sometimes if there's anything to any of it and if we just die dead. And when I think about that and when I struggle with that, and there was a time in my life when I struggled greatly with it, I went back to the scriptures and realized that the disciples had seen a risen Lord, and that the things that were described in the scripture about the Lord Jesus just simply could not have happened in a they could not have happened apart from the plan of God in the life of the Lord. He had been the fulfillment of prophecy. And yes, while I'm not a great believer in trying to convince people of the truth of the Bible, it's nice to be able to go back over the prophecies of the Old Testament and see how they were fulfilled in Christ. But listen, the real reason why we don't lose our faith is because as we have the Word of God working in our life, when faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, we find out that the Word of God and the Spirit of God always work together. And when we logically think about being able to lose our faith and being able to turn away from the Lord, we forget that the Holy Spirit is still using the Word of God to bring people to Christ and to reassure them. So there is this miraculous work of the Spirit of God in our lives, which we don't understand. And I am convinced that when we get away from the Bible, get away from reading and praying, get away from a close relationship with the Lord, it's possible to be stumbled. It's possible to question what we believe. But when we question it, we need to begin going back to the scriptures, the simple scriptures, the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to go back to the Romans 5 scriptures, but God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to go back to the Isaiah 53 prophecy. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And those scriptures that were a blessing to us, that brought us to Christ and gave us the assurance of salvation when we came to Christ, they will reassure us if we get into a situation where Satan is trying to stumble us. And friend, the work of the Holy Spirit is what draws us to Christ, and it is God himself who keeps us. And so when we come to John chapter 10, we find that the Lord says that we will not be able to be plucked out of the Father's hand, will not be able to be plucked out of the Son's hand. I and the Father are one. They're doing a work in our lives that we hardly can understand. But we thank God for everyone who has believed on the Lord and can go back and say, yes, I've had these times of doubt and trial, but the Lord has reassured me. He has shown me again the truth that I believed the first time, and it is true. Christ has died for me. I am saved. Thank God for everyone who can truly say that. We have been convinced of the truth that Jesus is the Christ, that he fulfilled Scripture, and that John the Baptist was his forerunner. And thank God for those who are not stumbled today, but who are enjoying the salvation of God even today and are confident in their relationship with him and in their future with the Lord. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the assurance that we have in it. We thank thee that even when our faith is weak, your strength is not. You are all powerful, and your word is all powerful, and the Holy Spirit still works in our lives to reassure us that Christ did indeed die for our sins. Now we pray for thy blessing upon this program, and we pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.